Coming up.
Everywhere you go, you hear voices.
I was literally the only Welsh-speaking voiceover with my own studio.
Oh no, I'm paranoid now.
Just the meaning of life.
I forgot to put my Do Not Disturb on.
Less Nat Geo, more Channel 5.
Hooray!
Yours was lush as well.
You don't have to butter me up, it's all right.
Well, it's tempting to go down the Ruth Maddock road, isn't it?
I'm so excited.
Oh, how'd you say that now?
Whoa, what the hell's going on there?
No, not at all, not at all.
That's because I was best mates with the Queen Mother, see?
And now, enjoy the podcast.
How do you say that?
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 Hello and welcome to today's episode of How Do You Say That, sponsored by BritishVoiceOver.co.uk. This is Samantha Boffin.
Hello.
Hello.
And this is Mark Rice.
Yes, indeed. Every week, along with a special guest, we set out to prove there's more than just one way to read a script.
Yes, there is. So if you use a mic in any way, shape or form professionally, as a voiceover artist or a director or an actor or even a podcaster, then this hopefully is the podcast for you.
Now, today's fun fact about Sam is that Jules Holland once played a song for her in his living room.
He did.
That's amazing.
I know. I was a very, very young, very, very young runner. And I was sent up to get Mr. Jules, or Mr. Holland, out of bed.
Oh, really?
This is a bigger story. So you can ask me at one voice about that story.
Ah.
But it ended up with him making up a song and saying how sorry he was, Samantha, that he'd taken so long.
Love that. I love that.
And Mark's fun fact is that he has been away from home for 2.5 weeks and has completely missed, this is really sad, completely missed the red tulips flowering in his garden.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Well, you know, I went to do 2.5 weeks at the Ideal Home Show, demonstrating at the Ideal Home Show.
And
was away from home. And the tulips were just about to break into opening as I left. And they're just all over. All the petals are on the ground. Sad.
It's so sad. We've got a cherry tree in our back garden. And there have been years where I have been away at Easter and haven't seen it flower. Yeah. And it is really sad.
Yeah. Well, on that gardening note, we also, of course, have a special guest who this week, all the way from Monmouth, is Nonny Lewis. Hello,
Woo!
Nonny.
Hello.
It's lovely to have you on.
Well, this is really embarrassing. I'm kind of distracted because I forgot to put my Do Not Disturb on. So now now I'm like clicking away. Okay, it's done now. You can carry on. Hello, everyone.
While we do your biog, you do all the clicks and checks that you need to do, okay? Sam, tell us a bit about Nonny.
Nonny is a bilingual Welsh actor, voiceover, writer and director with a 25-year background in theatre and voice. And over the years, she has become the go-to voice for all things Welsh, as well as continuing to perform a diverse range of accents and characters alongside regular corporate and commercial work.
Well, Nonny's voiced for the BBC, S4C, Aardman, and many other clients in promos, movies, cartoons, radio plays, live radio performances, poetry readings, and pretty much everything else in between. Nonny, have you got a fun fact that you can share with us?
Yeah, this just kept coming to me. So quite a few years ago, I was sitting on my sofa and I got a text from a friend saying, "Oh my God, I'm so excited. You're an answer on Pointless."
No! How exciting!
It's not really something to show off about, to be the Pointless answer. I'm assuming I was a Pointless answer. You know?
I think that's amazing. That's real fame.
Do you not know what the question was?
Well, it was related to Curse of the Were-Rabbit. Naming actors
yes.
from that movie, and I don't think I would have been on the tip of most people's tongues for that one. So
I would take that as a win, quite
yeah,
honestly.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, well, I do really, but then some people go, "Well, it's a bit embarrassing, isn't it?" You know, if you'd have been like 100 or whatever, that's probably a bit better. But
you know, were
I'm
in
competing
it.
Against Ralph Fiennes. I mean, come on.
I'm more of a Chase fan than a Pointless fan, and I think
the
height of all fame is probably being a question on The Chase.
Oh, I don't think I've ever even seen The Chase.
Oh, you've missed a treat. Bradley Walsh is waiting for you with about 1,000 episodes that you can watch.
That's my weekend then.
Oh yeah. I know how to live.
So well, on that very exciting note, let's have a look at our first script of the show and ask, how do you say that?
How do you say that?
Okay, so this is a script I have done in the last week, actually.
Okay.
And it is a documentary.
Ah, presumably about the royal family, because it's talking about Queen Elizabeth and Prince Philip.
Yes, it is indeed about the royal family, about the royal family's pets.
What?
I have to laugh. It's very sweet.
What kind of style was this done in?
Well, I concentrated on who the audience was likely to be. There is a very specific audience, I would imagine, that is interested in the royal family and their pets. Although, actually, it was a really interesting doc, I have to say. I loved it as a doc because it went right back 1,000 years to when they had pets in the Tower of London how Regent's Park became a zoo and things like that. It was really interesting, actually.
I have a story about the royal family. Can I tell you a quick story?
Go on, then.
So I don't know him or anything like that, you know. But my grandmother was a real massive monarchist, so she used to take us to London every 5 minutes to wave at somebody or other. And so I've seen them all, you know, back in them days.
Seen them all.
They all know me personally. And it was the Queen Mother's 87th birthday, and we went up to give her a wave, and I got quite close to her and ended up, and I got held back by a security guard dressed as a clown, and I landed up with a photograph of me just caught in the corner of the photograph of the Queen Mother, and it was in the Sunday Express, and my grandmother saw this. I was probably about 8. My grandmother this, was so excited and delighted that she wrote to them and said, "This is my granddaughter, and she loves the Queen Mother." And put the address in, like you used to in those days, her actual address. And so people were sending, all these old ladies from Dorset were sending me pictures of the Queen Mother and letters. I just kept some of them. It's incredible. Anyway, sorry, that was a massive tangent, but it just reminded me that I'm famously, apparently, a really big fan of the royal family. I'm not.
Big fan of the Queen Mum in particular, which is
in
what
particular,
I really like.
In particular, Queen Mum, yeah.
What I took from that story, rather worryingly, was that you were apprehended by a policeman dressed as a clown.
I know.
That was like, whoa, what the hell's going on there?
And you can see him in the picture. It is quite disturbing.
Yes. I mean, on so many levels.
And it was disturbing at the time. Yeah, there you go. Dressed as a clown.
So documentary time then.
Yes. Mm,
I'm going to go first, Nonnie, and then you'll have a go. And then Sam will tell us that we're both completely wrong.
No, not
necessarily. She rarely does that. But sometimes she pulls something out of the bag that it was like, oh, yes, you had to do it in Western accent.
Yes, you didn't ask that question, did you?
Yeah, I didn't ask that question. Was it from... Oh, it's not done from the, like, corgi's perspective or anything, then?
No, is it absolutely not from the perspective of the corgi?
Okay. I thought I'd ask just in case.
Yeah, always worth checking. Mm,
much straighter than that, then?
I think a little straighter than that, yes, a little straighter.
Right, well, I'll give it a go. Elizabeth's most treasured corgi was Susan, who was gifted to the princess on her 18th birthday in 1944. Susan quickly became Elizabeth's constant companion and loyal friend through thick and thin. She was so attached to Susan that she insisted on taking her along on her honeymoon with Prince Philip in 1947, hiding the dog under a pile of blankets in their carriage to the station directly after the wedding. Their bond was unbreakable, transcending even the formalities of royal protocol.
Very nice. Nice pacing. Bit formal for me, but
if I'm going to be honest.
I have to say, I watch quite a lot of royal family documentary stuff on Channel 5, and I felt halfway through that, yes, I was a bit formal there. I could have lightened that up a bit.
Yeah.
It was a fact-led read, and there's nothing wrong with that for a documentary, right?
Right. Less Nat Geo, more Channel 5.
I think possibly because it was a funny little or sweet little story about hiding the dog under a pile of blankets. Maybe. Yeah, I don't know.
You're right.
I mean, you're absolutely right. It is. That would definitely be a question to ask. Do you want something fairly informal and light and frothy? Or do you actually want a straightforward, factual doc read?
But I think it also helps if you know where the end product is being played.
Yeah, absolutely. It's more about, I think, in this instance, it's more about who the end product is likely to be. And I kind of thought to myself, well, it's going to be somebody that's interested in royalty, pets, maybe a slightly older demographic, maybe somebody who loves a cute little story about dogs.
Yeah, yep. I was thinking cute and dogs. You're appealing to the dog lovers, I suppose, aren't you?
Exactly.
Cute little daggies.
Nonnie.
Yeah.
Let's see what you can bring out of it, shall we?
Okay. Elizabeth's most treasured corgi was Susan, who was gifted to the princess on her 18th birthday in 1944. Susan quickly became Elizabeth's constant companion and loyal friend through thick and thin. She was so attached to Susan that she insisted on taking her along on her honeymoon with Prince Philip in 1947, hiding the dog under a pile of blankets in their carriage to the station directly after the wedding. Their bond was unbreakable, transcending even the formalities of royal protocol.
Nice. I love that.
Yeah, that there was a real kind of, there was almost a, yeah, there was a lightness and a warmth. There was a real kind of, yeah, friendliness in that, which I loved.
For the really doggy nice. Lovers. For
the actual doggy lovers, exactly. I thought it was such a friendly read, that, Sam.
Yeah, there was a real kind of hug about it, I thought.
Yeah.
And I honestly think that's the sort of thing that they, so less formal doc and mm-hmm. more, what an interesting, sweet little story this is.
That's because I was best mates with the Queen Mother, see?
That's the thing. And I you know, it shines through your love of the royals.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Very much so. Although I suspect that that is not the way that Sam did it.
No, it's far more like Nonnie was doing it, actually. Yeah.
Let's hear it then.
Elizabeth's most treasured corgi was Susan, who was gifted to the princess on her 18th birthday in 1944. Susan quickly became Elizabeth's constant companion and loyal friend through thick and thin. She was so attached to Susan that she insisted on taking her along on her honeymoon with Prince Philip in 1947, hiding the dog under a pile of blankets in their carriage to the station directly after the wedding. Their bond was unbreakable, transcending even the formalities of royal protocol.
I loved it. You put the little laugh in there and everything. Yeah, yeah. You really raised the, not the comic level, but the it's an amusing story we can all smile along to.
I felt like you were sharing something that you weren't supposed to share, which was really
yes.
nice.
This is what the producer told me, but I'm not really supposed to put it in the script. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah, totally.
Well, because what I thought about it, of course, now I have the benefit of seeing the whole doc, I suppose. What I thought about it was that in and amongst other not quite so light and frothy stories, this sort of showed the humanity of and the youth of her.
Yeah.
She was so young when she got married. And it shows
true.
That kind of, it was a bit, it was sort of slightly daring, even within the context, you know, to take a little dog on holiday when no one was expecting her to. I thought it was quite a sweet little story. Anyway, that's what I did.
But yours is all right as well, Mark. I feel bad now because I came in and said that was Lesh after Sam did hers.
No.
Yours
do not,
was Lesh
do not,
as well.
Don't fret, Nonny. It's fine. You don't have to butter me up. It's all right. I'm just picking your wild card later. That's all.
Seriously, he will have his day. I know he will.
Yes. I can't wait. Looking for
I'm not that mean. I'm not mean. I'm really
no,
not
mean. You're not.
We'll see.
It is worthwhile remembering, though, that these are real scripts that we've been working on. We have changed some names and some details to avoid copyright issues.
Yeah, Susan's actually called Bernard, right?
It wasn't Princess Elizabeth at all. Yeah, it was Princess Grace of Monaco. It
wasn't even a dog, to be perfectly honest.
It was a goldfish.
A goat.
So, Nonny, do tell us a little bit about your script that you brought along.
Oh, yeah. All right. So this one I actually did this morning. So it's nice and fresh and hot off the press.
Okay.
Hot off the press.
Hot. Yes, hot. I get it.
See what you did there.
And it just made me chuckle. So it was, it's a commercial, a radio commercial. And I do a fair few of these. And a lot of them have a very similar tone and sort of you know what to expect. And this one was for a builder's merchants in Cardiff. And it was not necessarily what you'd expect. So, I thought it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. What more do you want to know about it?
Timing, please, Nonny.
Oh, yes, you do love a bit of timing.
This was a 30-second ad.
Oh, Sam's going to love you. Sam said a few weeks ago on the podcast that she is so over 30-second scripts that she doesn't want to do them anymore. So, Sam, another one for you.
Hooray!
And I'm going to make you go first with it.
You are, aren't you? Okay, well, don't time me.
You know I'm going to time you now, don't you?
Yes, of course you are. Okay. We're HOT, the builder's merchants with gorgeous supplies, from sumptuous bricks made from real sweat and tears, to mouth-watering timber and plumbing supplies to get you all hot and sweaty. We've got free local delivery and charming experts on hand to seduce you. Hot Property Builders, now open on Colchester Avenue, Cardiff. Minimum spend applies for free delivery.
Very
I love
nice.
That. I mean, I genuinely can't do it in that way because it will sound weird. But I liked that. There's a certain flirtiness to it that I kind of wasn't really expecting.
I would venture that you're a little bit scared of how far that could go, though, Sam.
Yeah, totally.
I am a bit.
I think you were holding back a lot.
I could go much further
exactly.
than that. It was the last line made me laugh because I was thinking, what do I do?
For free. Anyway, but yes.
It's what
I
is
could
that
go
minimum
further.
Spend?
Minimum spend. I do like the word minimum, actually. Minimum.
So I went neutral. I went kind of, I didn't go too far, but I let those builders.
You went far enough, believe me.
Did I? You flirted with the idea and backed off.
I'm a little bit flushed.
You're not a little bit flushed, Mark. Now I want to hear how you're going to do it.
Yeah,
I have to say, if I heard that on the radio, it would make me prick my ears up. So that's great, because that's
what
all the advertising is trying to do. Exactly.
Tick the box there. Be heading down to HOT in no time.
I think I'm there already. I think I'm on the front path.
They've got gorgeous supplies.
I want to just put this in character for Mo. I think I would be the voice of a person like the Diet Coke man.
Ooh.
You know who I mean by the Diet Coke man?
I do.
Doing this advert. So if I was lip syncing someone, it would be the Diet Coke man doing
that's
it. Okay.
A great image.
I need you to think about the hot ripped builder as I do this, all right?
That's a visualization.
I don't want you to be no slave. That was that one, right?
Oh yeah, it was that one. Let's see if I can even pull that off or anywhere near, shall we? We're hot. The builders merchants with gorgeous supplies. From sumptuous bricks made with real sweat and tears to mouth-watering timber and plumbing supplies to get you all hot and sweaty. We've got free local delivery and charming experts on hand to seduce you. Hot Property Builders, now open on Colchester Avenue, Cardiff. Minimum spend applies to free delivery.
Hang on, I'm getting a mem. Didn't you used to do some dirty phone lines or something? This is home for you.
When I was very young.
I pictured you like with those barbells. Is that what they're called? Have I just said something embarrassing?
Absolutely.
You know, in the gym.
Could you picture it?
Yeah.
Exactly.
I did totally. Picture it. Yes.
Damn.
And I just want to say, 30 seconds.
Oh, it kind of went completely out of my head, the 30 seconds. Absolutely.
I definitely want to hear how Nonny did this.
I suspect you quite lent into your Welshness here, Nonny, am I correct?
You might be, yeah.
Right, let's hear what you did with it then, shall we?
All right. We're HOT, the builders merchants with gorgeous supplies. From sumptuous bricks made with real sweat and tears to mouth-watering timber and plumbing supplies to get you all hot and sweaty. We've got free local delivery and charming experts on hand to seduce you. Hot Property Builders, now open on Colchester Avenue, Cardiff. Minimum spend applies to free delivery.
It's exactly what I said. You would prick your ears up and you'd go, what the hell's that about?
You would, and absolutely. And Nonny, when you were you directed for this session?
Yeah.
Did it move much from where you first went in on it? It didn't. So you came to this script with that.
Yeah.
With that delivery, so, and they loved that.
Yeah, they had other regions, and they sent me one of the other regions, which was actually switched. The gender was switched, so it was the MVO doing that bit. Yeah, so I asked, it was obvious they wanted it with the accent, but I did double check that, and yes, indeed.
I loved the way you went, made with real sweat and tears. It's like, oh, golly.
It was lovely, though. I mean, really sort of, really kind of, you know, sumptuous stuff.
Well, it's tempting to go down the Ruth Maddock road, isn't it? We're HOT, the builders merchants with gorgeous supplies. You know, remember, Heidi High?
I do.
Oh, yes, the Ruth Maddock Avenue, yes. Yeah. Oh,
absolutely. Yes. What's that? Is that a thing? The Ruth Maddock Avenue?
I think people have moved on from that, Nonny, to be fair.
You may say that. These days, it's which character from Gavin and Stacey do you want? Just tell me.
Of course it is, yes.
You know, because you get people directing you and they say a bit more Welsh, a bit less Welsh, a bit more that. And I just say, which one? Which one?
Yeah.
And I guess as long as you can do them all, that's fine.
Yeah. Well, it's a sense of it, though, isn't it? I mean, the characters from something like that, not necessarily how they speak or even their accent, but it's a sense of... You know, they were so clear, those characters.
Yes. They
and
were.
They're all people, and you know, that you sort of know and have met in Wales. So, you know, it works.
Play How Do You Say That?
And now, here is the moment we love.
Oh, yes.
The wild card bit. So let's see if we can approach these scripts in a completely different way. So, Nonny, can you pick one of these scripts for Mark?
Oh, I didn't know I had to pick the script. Now, let me think. Which one? Hang on. Oh, no. Hang on. Well, let's go with script two. So, yeah, the Builder's Merchants.
That's what I was hoping for.
Okay,
but I wonder where you're going to take it from
always
here.
Always hoping for the hot Builder's Merchants.
Yeah. And I want you to mansplain it.
Well, obviously, that's something I'm not very good at.
Obviously. Absolutely.
He says. Okay, I think I can do that. All right. We're H.O.T., the Builder's Merchants with gorgeous supplies. From sumptuous bricks, you know, made with real sweat and tears. We got mouth-watering timber, plumbing supplies to get you all hot and sweaty. There's free local delivery. We've got charming experts on hand to seduce you. Hot Property Builders, now open on Colchester Avenue, Cardiff. Now, minimum spend applies to free delivery.
I love that last line.
Don't you hate people like that?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that last line, you absolutely nailed it. It could have been more further up. Yeah.
That minute spend applies.
I'm not like that, really.
I know.
I try not to be. Am I?
No.
Oh, no, I'm paranoid now.
No, not at all.
No, not at all.
Yeah. So I think I have the next one. I think I'm going to suggest one for Nonny.
Okay.
So, Nonny, I'd like you to also do script two.
Okay.
Your script. But I would like you to do it as a philosopher who has discovered the meaning of life.
Oh.
Okay.
Nothing big then.
Yeah, all right.
Just the meaning of life. Yeah. That's all we need.
We're H.O.T., the Builder's Merchants with gorgeous supplies. From sumptuous bricks made with real sweat and tears to mouth-watering timber and plumbing supplies to get you all hot and sweaty. We've got free local delivery and charming experts on hand to seduce you. Hot Property Builders. Now open on Colchester Avenue, Cardiff. Minimum spend applies to free delivery.
The meaning of life.
The meaning of life is. See, I thought the meaning of life might have been in the sweat and tears then as well.
Yeah, well, basically it is, isn't it?
It's all the meaning of life.
Absolutely. That was a really difficult one, though, Sam. I'm not sure what I would have done with that at all.
Oh, I thought...
I like that one.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
good,
I thought you did it really well. I would have been real stumped by that.
Thank you. Yeah,
you're
that
never
fun.
Stumped.
Right, I guess I have to come up with one for Sam now. Mm-hmm. So, not being mean, but... Sam, I'd like you to be in the House of Commons. I'd like you to be on the front bench, and I'd like you to be... Like you're standing up making a speech in Parliament... But about halfway, I'm going to get you to do your script about the royals.
Right.
But about halfway through, you realise, actually, you're lying. You didn't mean to, but actually, this is not true.
Okay.
And you have to get to the end of your speech.
Right.
Nice. Okay.
Elizabeth's most treasured corgi was Susan, yes, who was gifted to the princess on her 18th birthday in 1944. Susan quickly became Elizabeth's constant companion and loyal friend through thick and thin. She was so attached to Susan, yes, that she insisted on taking her along on her honeymoon with Prince Philip in 1947. Hiding the dog under a pile of blankets. In their carriage to the station. Oh, it was directly, I seem to recall, directly after the wedding. Yeah. And so, well, their bond was unbreakable, transcending even the formalities of royal protocol.
Nice. That moment, the realisation hits, it's like, oh my God.
You hear the penny dropping. But you missed out, just to be clear. They all say that.
Just to be clear.
Let's be clear. Yeah, let's.
I like
let's.
It. Let's. Could you see yourself on the front benches there?
I was, but I have to confess, I didn't choose the party.
Well, no, just probably party of government. Just
yes, exactly.
Doesn't matter which party it was necessarily.
And I was also tempted to go, rah, rah, rah. You started it at that mark, and I was going to join him, but it was a bit unfair.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, if you want to play along in the privacy of your own booth, feel free, because we've put the scripts in the show notes, so you can have a try yourself.
Yes, yes, you can, if you really wish to. You
yes,
can.
Yes, if you want.
So, now, Nonny, our question this week is...
Oh.
In your 25-year career, what have been the biggest changes that you've seen from your point of view?
People have heard of Wales now.
So honestly, has it just become more to the fore? So well, we're much more...
Regional accents generally are now accepted. I mean, when I first started I was literally the only Welsh-speaking voiceover with my own studio. In the world.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. And you know, obviously, I mean, you guys probably went through the same thing I did. You know, everybody wanted RP and sort of until they didn't. And for everything, you know, there wasn't even for local radio and local TV, they didn't really want regional accents at all. And obviously that is completely transformed. And now you're allowed to have any accent you want. It's great.
Absolutely. And you hear them, you know, you hear different accents everywhere, which is fantastic. I mean, it's much, much more interesting, as much as anything else, quite frankly.
Yeah, it
yes,
is.
Yes, indeed, absolutely.
And much more representative of you know, that of the nation.
I still get shocking translations, though, I have to say, when I get stuff in Welsh language. Oh, that's a journey that goes on. Yeah.
Do you have to often translate then on the fly?
I don't anymore, and I refuse to, I'll be honest. Because it just got to a point where I was actually, you know, I'm not a translator. I will recommend somebody if they send me something. A lot of the times people don't know that it's bad because the client has sent it. My favourite one was when I was advertising, apparently, drinking pig wine inspiringly.
Nice.
Wow. True story. That's what it translated, because they said, won't this do? And I replied an email going, not unless you're advertising drinking pig wine inspiringly.
I love that. I love that.
Oh, God, it's crazy. You know, some of them have got better, but then, yeah. And it's just, anyway, it's an ongoing
issue. It's a really good perspective, that, Nonny, on the region. Sam, what do you think is the biggest change in the time that you've been voicing?
I think really it's the home studios, actually, because there was a time where you very, very rarely ever used anybody in a home studio. You know, people went to, you know, to where the studios were. And of course, there was far fewer staff. There were very few places where voiceovers were needed or used, actually. If you think about the explosion that's happened, you know, in the last, well, certainly 15 or so years. But, you know, if you went back to the, I don't want to go too far back to the 80s or, you know, but the 90s, the early 90s, they're just, you know, there are only a handful of places that needed voices.
So fewer voiceover artists, fewer jobs, and the explosion of all of that has changed as well, hasn't it?
Everywhere you go, you hear voices. Mm. Everywhere.
Is that just in your head though, Sam?
That could just be in my head, actually.
It's got to be a good thing, Sam.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm not saying, no.
It's just a
absolutely.
Change, isn't it? Yeah.
There's more noise generally now everywhere. I mean, nobody had phones in their pockets and, you know, and computers. And
well, this is it. I mean, everybody look down the street and everybody's got earbuds in. Everyone's listening to something constantly, you know. So, yeah, I mean, before, obviously.
Apart from each other.
Yes, exactly.
They're not listening to each other. They're not talking to each other anymore.
But you want people to listen to stuff because the stuff you're making right now. But, you know.
We want people to do that.
It's
absolutely
completely changed, yeah.
I think the other thing for me is money. The money has changed. It feels like voiceover has been devalued hugely in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
In comparison, I think the three of us remember when it felt like it was really quite well paid. Mm-hmm. And those rates have not changed. That's partly an equity issue. Yep. It's partly a expansion of P2P. It's all of that.
I think it's a lot to do with some of the clients. As well as it being easier for a voiceover to set, not easier, but you can do it at home and on your own, people are also setting up animation companies at home on their own as well.
Yep.
So they don't necessarily have that background of knowledge of how a voiceover works and how the structure works and how the money works and how any of it is funded. So you're sometimes dealing with people who don't have a clue, and they have dealt with voiceovers who perhaps don't have a clue. So they've gone, oh, I'll have this much money. And they go, yeah, that's great. And then they don't understand usage. They don't understand because you're not dealing with people who've been in the industry and understand how any of it works.
And you can only educate people so far.
Yeah, and very gently.
Yes, very gently. In some cases, very, very gently.
Or just by going delete sometimes. I mean, I don't know, that's not gentle that is, but
refuse the job. Silent. Refuse the job. Exactly, exactly. Oh, Nonny, there are some great insights there in that discussion. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It has been a joy.
Thank you for asking me. Enjoyed it.
A joy to have you on. Nonny Lewis's details are in the show notes, and we'll put all your details and all of your links to your social media there as well.
Lovely.
Yes, definitely. And we'll also be putting today's scripts in the show notes so you can have a read yourself.
Oh, yeah. And please like and subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode. And feel free, please, to give us a review if you've enjoyed it.
Okay. So that is it for this week. Thanks again to Nonny Lewis.
Yay. Thank you.
And we will be back next week with more scripts and another voiceover guest when we will be asking all together now.
How do you say that?
How do you say that?